All right, so you get to hear me again. And Ron will see how I do on someone else's talk. Luckily, I've actually been working with these the folks down here in Mexico. They've been working on their forest inventory work or setting up their national forest monitoring system. And this is one of the things that I guess I wanted to mention probably here is that a lot of us here, you know, are doing research and we want to understand and improve our research. But there are a lot of people, and these are the people that I'm working with currently right now in the world that are trying to set up just some of the most basic systems to understand what they have right now, and they're facing, you know, issues that have nothing to do with like what's the loss or change in our air dry samples over time. They're like, how much forest do we have? You know, what are the range of species that we have? And so they're working very hard to set up these monitoring systems in place. And this is one of the units for Mexico that's been working on this for the last about 6 years now to get the system in place. And so the content of this talk, sources of errors, which I'll go quickly over, talk about Mexico and forest inventory a little bit, measurement, model, sample, map errors, which I'll have some sort of my own commentary on, I suppose, and then propagating these errors. So as we've seen before, we talked a little bit about, we have our measurement error, talks about the quality of data, the allometric, the model errors associated with that for an individual tree, biomass, and then if over the plot, we have an error associated with that. We sum over the plots, but then as we're moving towards estimating biomass over larger and larger areas, then it comes into sort of this idea of the sample error, the representativity of these plots. But then we need to propagate all those through to understand those components. Very busy slide. Osvaldo is known for this, and he's going to listen to the recording later. So here's the Mexico inventory. It's actually one of the most outside of sort of in the developing world is one of the most sophisticated inventories that is out there. They actually have 26,220 plots for the entire country of Mexico. That may seem like not a lot when we're talking about the United States has about 300,000 plots in their forest inventory. But if we start looking at other countries, Peru, for example, is a large country about the size of Mexico almost, and they're going to have about 1,000 plots in their entire forest inventory. Etc. Right, so it's a lot of number of plots that they have there. They have a nice design, variable sampling densities as they're moving across for their forests of more interest versus areas that are more arid, etc. A couple plot designs, and Ron, probably anyone who works for the Forest Service knows the FIA. Seems well, that's very familiar. Well, as it turns out, way back when, we helped them design their forest inventory. One of the interesting things about them is that they have first cycle was done in 04, 07, and then they went back and remeasured in 09, 014, and now they're currently in cycle 3 of this forest inventory. So, with the idea of the measurement error, one of the things that happened with the forest inventory, normally when you set up these repeated cycle kind of inventories, you have really good plot locations and you're actually trying to keep track of individual trees. As it turned out, that was not what happened, how they implemented the inventory in Mexico. And so when they went back to the plots, they weren't exactly in the exact same plot. And so to understand the measurement errors, they would send in what they call a blind check crew that would go in, but that blind check crew was not exactly measuring the same plot. Okay? And so in order to get at these measurement errors, they took that data and went with this approach of repeatability and reproducibility. To do that, and that's basically where they're taking that and looking at the variances of these different components over time and in between these individual measurements, since they couldn't say, well, this tree, the crew one measured at this, and that same tree crew measured it as that, and do a measurement error kind of estimate. They actually just kind of went back and had to look at the variances of these the different plots and the distributions on those measurements of the DBHs and to produce that error. And so this is what they were getting. Down here you've got the vegetation type. I was trying to hunt down a list of that, but this is like you've got oak pine forest, you've got primary, you've got secondary, the P and the S, what means. So these are the sort of types of forests that they're trying to produce their estimates for. And so they went back and did this study, and they have some the lower and upper confidence bounds on those estimates. And this is actually a reasonably high measurement error. Usually in the United States, QAQC errors, we're talking on the order of, it's like 1% or is reasonable. And here they found that in the measurement error, they were actually in around 20% or so. Remember, though, they had to do this using an approach that wasn't ideal. Had they gone back and actually measured the same trees, perhaps the measurement error would be a little less. Then, of course, they had their model error, right? And we were talking about that they had 500 equations or something in their database to choose from. As it turns out, they're only going to use about 94 now after you run it through sort of their decision tree analysis, and they're really relying on 94. Now, a lot of these elementary models that they're using, they have the published, oftentimes N, an R-square, and then the parameters. They don't have any idea of what the plus minus is on those parameters, so there's really no way to go back. So, Oswald Lowestein, Magnuson, they cooked up a thing where they're trying to recreate the covariance matrix on these parameters. I've read the paper a couple times. I kind of understand what they're doing. I'm not 100% sure that I like this approach, but that's just me saying that. But anyways, so they're trying to recreate those errors on those parameter estimates, right? Trying to reestablish those covariance matrices to include the model error in their calculations. And so equation 1 through 94, right, they have their recovered covariance matrix and are going more and can incorporate that into their propagation. For the sample error, it's a reasonably simple approach. They're using a ratio estimator approach, looking at their different plots and their subplots, right, and the biomass that they have created on that, and then they can produce an uncertainty with that. This is a pretty standard kind of way of going about things. This is something we all understand, right? It's moving forward like that. There are a lot of different few ways of calculating that. What if you have three of your subplots are forested and the fourth one's not, all these sorts of things. There's little tweaks on that system, but they went with a simple, ratio estimator approach on those things. And so this is what they get for their sample error. These are the same different kinds of forests again. So these are the number of subplots that they have in that forest class. Now this is the number of primary plots or the plots that they have in that class. This is the area that they've determined of that kind of forest that they have in their country. And so and then they can produce, this is their estimate of carbon densities, tons per hectare, and the uncertainty associated with that. As you can see, a small number of plots, high uncertainty for the most part, and that's what you would expect, right? You want to make sure that you're doing that. And luckily you would hope that small number of plots is in areas where you have small amount of forest type, right? So that would mean that you have a reasonable design. So here comes another component that they need to estimate was the idea of this map error. This is one of the issues that they have there. The areas of their forests are generated out of what they call these series of maps produced by the National Statistics Institute, or whatever it's called, INEHI. And one of the interesting things is that when they did these maps, they didn't really produce accuracy assessments on these maps. And so they had to go back, and they went out and did some plots to try and understand what the map error was associated with those classifications to get a handle on that. Kind of a issue that they're having is, of course, is that this is something that they've done today, and these maps were produced, starting in like about 1994, I think, was the first series. And, of course, over time, the methodologies that they've used to produce those maps has changed. And so this is one of the issues that they're looking at right now is the fact that, well, we have a map accuracy today, but is that applicable across the board? But, we're in the real world, and you do what you can do. At least this is going to give them an idea of what the accuracy is. And they went ahead and did a standard, what everyone's called, Olson produced this paper, and he's always saying, don't give me credit for it. This is stuff that's been around since the 70s, and he just wrote it in a format that people liked. To where they would go ahead and do this plots and adjust these areas and get an understanding of the confidence intervals on the actual area estimates that they have for their different forest types. And so they produce this, and they have the user's producer's accuracy, and moving through there, the strata here, of course, there are different forest types that they have. And they have the uncertainty associated with that, and it's reasonable, 6 to 20%. Depending. Now, if you look at that, some of the areas are pretty, on their larger areas, they have lower uncertainty, which is a good thing for them, but not always the case, right? But at least now they have an idea of what is the error on those estimates. Obviously, had they implemented the inventory in a way that it was designed originally to lay out to do, they wouldn't necessarily need to be relying so much on their maps to do this. Okay, and this is one of the things they've been struggling with. And in their third cycle now, they're actually going back and trying to institute the system as it was designed to do in that first cycle way back when. So what do they do? So we need to propagate the uncertainty of all these things. Now they have all these things, right? Now we need to propagate that across. And so this is one of the things that they've not taken and done as of yet. This is kind of a hot off the press thing. Oswaldo, now that he's back in the CONAFOR, their National Forest Service, working in this unit, they're going to start working on these things. Obviously, in order to propagate this well, they're going to probably go about it using Monte Carlo estimation, Monte Carlo method, in that it just tends to be a little easier to do, I think. It's more computationally intensive, but piecing these things together makes it a little bit, I guess, more flexible in terms of if they need to adjust out and use different distributions of their uncertainties, right? We always assume they're normally distributed, and most often they are, but maybe not always in the case of, say, this map, the maps that they're using. If they have more information, they can go back and they can tweak their Monte Carlo and produce new uncertainty estimates. And that is all I have for Oswaldo's talk. That's right. I got him on WhatsApp. I'll ask him right now. He's free now. I can answer it. I'm willing to give it a stab. So.
Do you want to tell us something about uncertainty in the Mexican forest industry? Your inventory. You were telling the story. We could be grateful that we don't have a level of corruption there. Tell us that.
They'll get mad at me if I do that. But right, the inventory was not done properly, and there are a lot of issues that you have, and it's a lot of times people would be going back and trying to remeasure the plots, and they wouldn't really be on the same plot, and they weren't taking care of that. Another thing is that they hadn't incorporated their blind check data until very recently. They've been doing blind checks since the way very beginning of all these cycles, and they haven't gone back and done that. They have discovered, and depending on who you ask, some of the times the crews that were supposed to go to plots actually didn't go to plots, and they kind of made them up in the lab. And, there's been issues with Photoshop pictures to make it appear because they made them take pictures of the plot. And so there's been some of those discoveries. But I will say, harking back to my civil engineering experience, a lot of the original land surveys in the Midwest, they'd send the surveyor out, and they were supposed to put the cornerstones in on every section and everything like that. And there were groups of these surveyors that were known to make up their surveys sitting in the local pub and tavern and drinking beer. So this is not a new issue, and this is hundreds of years ago that people have been doing this. And so, but they worked on steps to implement, to improve that in their final and third cycle. So you learn, right? And that's where I think we were talking about maybe at the break, while I have the microphone, I suppose, is that uncertainty we always think about at the end because we want to talk about how, what sort of confidence we have in our estimate. The people that I'm working with really need to sit down and talk about uncertainty as they move along in these processes. They're designing systems. What are the important pieces of that system that we need to reduce uncertainty in as much as possible? Well, you don't know that until you at least just step back and say, well, where are we at right now? What are the pieces that we know less about? And where do we need to move forward and put our money into moving into the future? Obviously, for a forest inventory, getting people onto the plots, measuring the same plots, recuperating their sample size was really important to them. So they've taken steps to go back and do that because they realize sample errors are big error. You know, the model errors, measurement errors might have a big piece. And so I'll be, hopefully Oswaldo will be able to come back and give a talk and see, well, what are the components of these different errors when they fully propagate across, and how much do they mean at, say, a state level or a national level in terms of their estimates. Yeah, Randy.
Curiosity, but do Mexicans measure outside of the trees? Do they
I should say that they actually call their inventory the Inventario Nacional Forestal y de Suelos. So it's National Forest Inventory and Soils Inventory. So they do, are going back, they measure what we call our, what are the phase 3 or phase 2.5, whatever. So they're measuring not only just above ground biomass, they're taking soil samples. They take samples of the litter layer. I couldn't remember. De Montijo. And then what else? So they're doing the five carbon pools right now that they need to do to report for these IPCC climate change, red, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big undertaking, and they should be very proud of what they have been able to do, I think.
One more question.
So I can leave? You guys are tired of listening to me.